My name is Darren Hupke, and this is Pixels and Polygons, part of the Soundstone Network. Hey everyone, welcome to a new episode. It is Friday and you are listening to the show. I guess you could listen to it on any other day. It's just Fridays when I release them, but whatever. I've got a new guest alert. This episode features the first time we chat with this guest. It was really rad to speak with them and chat with them and have a cool conversation on our favorite video game console of all time. So after the break, you'll meet Philip Summers. He is an artist. He's created the hand-drawn game guide series. He's done a bunch of cool stuff. He's worked, if you've purchased the books I've recommended y'all, the video game map series from Retro Game Books, the NES maps, has a cool cover art by Philip Summers on there. He's also done his own kind of like art book journal collection that he put out, 20XX. I also have a review of that over on my Patreon page as well if you want to take a look at that. That was a really rad book. But his current project has been his main project for a while, the hand-drawn game guide series, but he's partnered up with Capcom officially, and they're working on a Mega Man hand-drawn game guide, an official collaboration, everything, which is really rad. It was on Kickstarter. It's actually still eligible to purchase like late copies. It's in production now, so I recommend doing that. Check out the show notes in the links and everything below to see more about that. Otherwise, we've got by the time this issue by the time this episode airs, I think it's still going to be Retro Game Zine issue 5 is the current one, featuring a Breath of Fire coverage with Aiden Moyer. I'll have issue 6 shortly, as soon as June begins. That will be the month where issue 6 comes out, and that will be the Blue Stinger issue. So, got some more rad collaborators in that issue, talking about a cool Dreamcast, I don't say classic, but, you know, it's classic to me. That was a really rad issue. Still plugging away and working on the 32-bit library Greatest Hits volume. That's still happening. And I've got some other things working on in the background. You know, further issues of Retro Game Zine, potentially another project. So look out for more. You can find more information. Obviously, follow me on social media, on Blue Sky at DarrenHupke.bsky.social and at pixelsandpolygons.net for the two accounts. You can also follow the Soundstone account at soundstone.network to see all of the projects and all the things we're working on between this show, Flashback 64, and Kirby Conversations. So our group has their own account there. There may or may not... Oh, I should have thought about this and looked at this in advance. But we've been doing a giveaway for the launch of our network. So there may still be time. I will have... If there is, there'll be links in the show notes. If there isn't, it won't be in there. And sorry. But we've been working on a giveaway, giving away some copies of 32-bit library books and Retro Game Zine issues, as well as a $200 gift card to the platform store of your choice for like a little shopping spree, just to kind of kick things off and launch, and have you all follow and see what the things that we're working on, things that we're doing for the Soundstone team. That should be it. I think we've talked about everything. So kind of similar business as usual. Fun episode with Phil after the break, and we'll catch you all again here next week. Bye.
Do you find yourself playing older games and wishing that there were new discussions about those games? Enter Tales from the Backlog. Hi, I'm Dave Jackson, and on each episode, I'm joined by a guest to break down those games that may be stuck in your ever-expanding backlog. Each episode looks at one game in depth, focusing on mechanics, story, music, and other aspects with no spoilers until a clearly marked spoiler wall in the middle. If you've played the game, go ahead and climb that spoiler wall and enjoy in-depth story discussions. And if not, jump out when we warn you and maybe go play that game for yourself. We have over 100 episodes in the feed, everything from Disco Elysium to Tunic to discussion episodes about how to get into horror games and if games actually need to be fun or if they have more to offer. I guarantee that there's something in there for everybody. Once again, that's Tales from the Backlog, available wherever your podcasts are found.
All right, welcome to Pixels and Polygons, a conversational podcast. Oof. Conversational podcast about video games. I also don't go back and retake and edit things and all that stuff, so this is all live and all in the episode. I have a new guest to the show, so it's been a minute since we've had a new person on the show, so I'm really excited to welcome Philip Summers to the show. Welcome, Philip. Welcome to the show, and thanks for doing this.
Hi, thank you for having me. Happy to be here, be part of this.
I called you Philip there like three times. Do you prefer Phil or Philip?
It actually doesn't matter. I'm good with whatever.
Okay. Yeah. Well, tell us a little bit about you. I off the recording, we were just kind of chatting a little bit, but I've seen your work on a few things that I already have personally, like from Retro Game Books. Like Brian Rigsby is somebody I'm very familiar with, and you've done some artwork that I've seen on his projects and everything. And then you have a really cool new project that you're working on. That's been really rad to see come together. But yeah, like tell us a little about yourself and what you do.
Sure. So, yeah, you got my name. I'm Phil. I do a thing called hand-drawn game guides. So they are basically modern guides for old games. And it's all in the name. I draw the whole thing. And that's kind of been my thing for the last few years. I started out, they were just kind of like a little hobby. I did a couple old NES games. And then I ran a year long, it was like a bi-monthly newsletter through Patreon. And that burned me out real quick. So I stopped that. And then I switched gears, and now I'm working on this thing, Tangerine Game Guides Mega Man. It's an official product. I'm working with Nintendo Force, NF Publishing for that, and I'm knee deep in it. It's coming together. So we ran a Kickstarter, and go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh no, it's super cool. The Kickstarter, yeah, was definitely successful, and it's going to be Mega Man 1 as well as the first Game Boy game as well, right? Was that a bonus addition because of the Kickstarter's success, or was that planned all along?
So it was planned all along. We actually kind of scaled the guy. I'm probably gonna. This is probably too much inside baseball, but we kind of scaled the guy back. Like the original goal was we wanted to celebrate all of Mega Man's firsts. So it was like the first game, Wily's Revenge. They were gonna do something with the PSP game. We were gonna do stuff with Wily Wars. I'm gonna touch on those, but it's not what we had. I mean, basically, it was just out of control. So we scaled it back and agreed to just do the two games. The main guide is Mega Man 1. That's really like super in depth, really like blown out. There's like a story, like big story that we wrote for this thing. And then the Wily's Revenge stuff, it's pretty substantial as well, but it's a little more Nintendo Power. It's like more lighthearted. The art style is almost completely different. So it's got a completely different vibe when you switch over to that.
Yeah, it looks awesome. You can still check out the Kickstarter page and everything, and then I'm sure it will be for sale, obviously, for like the public and everything once it's all done. But yeah, it looks awesome. So I'm excited for that, and y'all, I'll put like links and everything in the show notes below so you can check those things out. Are you on any social medias or anything, any platforms like that that you want people to kind of follow you and they can follow your work?
Yeah, sure. I still exist on Twitter, Instagram, and Blue Sky. So those are the three. I use Blue Sky and Twitter probably the most. Instagram I'll post through once in a while, but those are the ones you can find me on.
Okay, cool. Well, we've got a couple questions in here before we get rolling into the main episode topic. We'll get warmed up with some this or that questions and an icebreaker question if you're ready for that.
Yeah.
Let's start this off with a couple of this or that's then. Let's see, Ryu or Ken?
Oh, Ryu.
Ryu. Okay, that was quick.
Yeah.
I just made this one up, but I asked this earlier to somebody when I was recording with him. But NBA Jam or Arch Rivals?
NBA Jam only because I haven't really played any Arch Rivals.
Yeah, see, this question is bombing. Nobody's played Arch Rivals. Am I like the only one who played Arch Rivals?
Very, very briefly. I guess you're an Arch Rivals person.
No. NBA Jam all day. Like, that would be like, no way. But I just think that they're similar. You know, they're basketball games where you can push each other and, you know, and whatnot. But NBA Jam is a way better game. But yeah, I don't know. Just thought there'd be more of a toss up or something.
People got like a soft spot, you know, like they're just like, oh, Arch Rivals is the one. Because that was, you know, the first one or whatever. Obviously, it would have came first, maybe, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. Castlevania or Metroid?
Oh, now that's
this or that's that. Really, I mean, one has that's to be chosen.
Really, I'm going to go Metroid. I'm going to go Metroid. That hurt. I don't know.
No, the answer's been decided. It's been decided. How about this one always goes this one way too. Super Nintendo or Sega Genesis?
Super Nintendo. I know that's easy. I'm going to be skewing probably Nintendo a lot. I'm going to be up front. Oh, real quick. If you want to spice up your Super Nintendo Genesis question, I would go with Super Nintendo music or Sega Genesis music, because that one I think can be a lot of people would probably default to Super Nintendo, but there's some Genesis stuff, man, that's awesome.
Yeah, no, that's a good one. That's a good point. I'm actually modifying my question to help spice that up a little bit. Last one then, Mario Tennis or Mario Golf?
Tennis.
Okay, yeah, do you have a specific tennis Mario Tennis game that you enjoy the most?
I played the 64 one a little bit, and I've only played a little bit of Mario Golf, so it's more of just like I would probably just play like a tennis game.
I haven't played a ton of the Game Boy Color Mario Tennis. I'm doing like a new issue of my retro game zine on that coming up. So, yeah, it's just a really good one. It has this RPG mode.
I like those, by the way. They're fun.
Oh yeah. You've backed those. Yeah. Thanks for the support there.
Of course.
Yeah, the Mario Tennis stuff had like an RPG mode like in it, where like you can like play and level your skills up and everything, and like that was just combining things and taking it on the go was rad.
Yeah, I'd like to try that one.
Yeah, it's rad. I think it's on like that Switch Online service, whatever. You know, if you pay for it, you get those free games or you can play. So I think you can play it that way. Yeah. I think.
Okay, I'll check.
All right. Well then, all right, that should hopefully have gotten some synapses flashing there in the brain. So then this icebreaker should hopefully get the engine up and running here. But while I don't condone throwing controllers, do you have a memorable controller throwing moment or even a near controller throwing moment?
I used to bite my controllers. Super Nintendo days. I have a couple teeth marks in them. The last time. So I haven't. So, you know, I probably something on actually. I think it was like the final boss of, I want to say Shenmue 2. That's the last time I can remember being like furious and throwing a controller. I sucked at the combat in that game. That's like the last time I can remember doing that. And I feel like when I threw it, it was one of those things where I was like, these things are getting kind of expensive and I shouldn't throw them anymore. And like, that's it. I have not thrown them. Like, those days are over.
That's funny. Yeah. Yeah, the Shenmue combat was great. I just felt like they never gave you enough time to really like practice it and get good at it.
Yep.
It was like, oh yeah, I remember 4 hours ago when you did that one fight. Yes. Like, yeah, here, follow it up again with another one for you.
Yeah. So, you know, I was playing, not to go off on a tangent here, but I was playing the first Shenmue. I got them for, they're PS4 versions, but I downloaded them on PS5, whatever. And I was playing the original around Christmas. Because in my head I was like, this is a Christmas game. I don't play a Christmas game. And it is kind of. yeah, you're right. Like, I remember it taking forever to fight, but it really felt like a long time in this. And like, to your point, yeah, it's just like, you don't have time to get good at it. And I was finding myself, because you can't skip time in this one. I think you could skip time in the second and the third one. But I found myself going to the park a lot and just practicing moves. But even then, I was just like, kind of wish like I could just throw in some dummy CPUs or something to actually try this stuff on, as opposed to just fighting the, you know, just doing moves into the air or whatever. But
yeah, or if they let you like go into your dojo and like practice the Fuxan, you know, like, here we go, like, come out here and let's spar a little bit and like let me practice this combat system, because I mean, you didn't get into a lot of combat in the first one. You got in that little like 100-man melee at the dock, you know,
but yeah, you didn't really get warmed up for that. It was like, you know, it was no. Like, whoa, man, what's going on here? But yeah, I played through those those re-releases and got the platinum trophies for 1 and 2. Like I like wrung out all the details of all those. I was like, yeah, let's do it. And I didn't realize how many like move scrolls and things you can find like in both games. And I'm like the entire time I'm like, yeah, I mean, why does it matter that I have 36 moves? Like I have the combat lasts so quickly or so fast and you don't get to do it that often. Like you're never really pulling out more than, you know, a couple like cheap combos you make yourself. Like, yeah, this one seems to work for me. I'm going to do this one leg sweep, one elbow jab, and then there we go. Repeat.
Yeah, when you were saying that 100-man battle, I can remember, I didn't do it when I didn't make it far enough this time, but back then I remember doing it and just, I just remember hitting with the same move over and over again.
I mean, I didn't want to lose, so I had to resort to just, you know, hey, this is perseverance, you know, I gotta just stick to this one thing. I love those games. All right, well then, there we go. We will jump into the main topic here then and get going. This is the first one we're going to ask. What is your favorite gaming console of all time and why? So this is, not necessarily a question, needs like a lot of like analysis and everything at all. This is more of you just getting a chance to just share a personal memory and tell us a little about it. But what is your favorite gaming console of all time?
So I guess I'm going to have to go with the NES. Because I don't like, I guess I'm obsessed with this machine. Like I'm obsessed with like, all the like work I've done outside of work. I was just like, when you asked me this question, I started thinking about it. I was like, oh, maybe Super Nintendo. I was like, well, the Switch has been pretty awesome. PS2 is great. Like I would start going through stuff. But I always come back to the NES. It's the one that always like, for some reason inspires me to like, I don't know, do all these weird projects. So like hand-drawn game guides, every guide I've covered has been pretty much a NES game. And I've been doing these for probably like over 5-6 years now at this point, actually longer. And before that, I was making a lot of these little animated shorts. I mean, this we're talking, probably 12 years ago or whatever. They were all NES related. I don't know that there's something about like that console, even like behind me, I have a wall of NES games, because in my head I was just like, I loved when I was a kid going to the video store and just looking at that big wall of games and all the possibilities. So I'm, you know, now as an adult, I was just like, I'm gonna build myself the video game wall to stare at. So, and it's the one that I still collect for today. I mean, I'm starting to get a little more choosy about how I buy stuff for it. I'm not like a collector where I need to own every single NES game, and I'm totally fine with just loose copies or whatever, but I have been spending a little more sometimes to get like something I really, really want. And it's probably the only console where I'm probably willing to do that. That's the machine. Like I just love it.
I mean, you mentioned the video store, rental store, like where we're at. Like I grew up, you know, loving like video game magazines as I got older, and you know, you'd read about games coming out, and then now with the internet, like we all know about every game that's coming out like well before it's out. Like it's like we're well informed about like just everything that's happening. As a kid, like especially in that NES era, like I didn't really get to know. I wasn't reading like anything like consistently, like even like right around Nintendo Power launch, it didn't share like every game that was happening. So like those video store like visits, like looking at the wall and just like looking at all these games, like you didn't know what you were going to discover, and there was always just something like, you know, like you were just looking for that thing that caught your eye that was just going to be some totally like brand new to you. You're not even sure. You don't even know if like, if friends have ever played it before or not, you know. It's just like, it was such a cool experience to do that. And so like, yeah, the NES library always, to even now, like I feel like I can scroll through like, you know, and like look at games and then like play something like, wait, I've never even heard of this thing for the first time. Like this is, you know, a chance to see this just because of how like how big that library was, but also how like unique some of those games were.
Oh yeah. You know, games that Nintendo Power didn't cover, you didn't even know they existed. And a lot of times, you know, you come to find out as you go back, it's like, okay, well, they definitely curated a list of games that they thought were worthy of being in this magazine. If they were in the video shorts section, they were most likely garbage. I didn't really realize, you know, like they had their ways of dealing with like lower tier games, but you didn't know that, right? You just thought it was a game they missed or whatever. And I can remember seeing stuff like Color Dreams games. Like my friend would have rented one of those. It's like, why do you have this blue cartridge? And I was like, you know, this is a NES game. Like, I loved all that kind of that whole element to it as well. There was definitely like tons of just discovery with that console. It was so much fun. And you know, we were, you know, 8 years old or whatever, so imagination was going.
What do you like about the console, like, design? Like the little flip open box and the spring loaded, like, you know, cartridge slot. Like, it always felt like a premium thing to me. Like, it wasn't just a cheap plastic toy and everything. I just loved its design even growing up.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I love that whole, like, I don't have an S2. I don't have, like, a top loader. I do prefer just the, you know, the front, the toaster, I guess people call it. I love the cartridges. I can remember a friend of mine, before I even knew what a Nintendo was, and he didn't know what a Nintendo was either, and he got a game for his birthday. It was Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. It's crazy that I remember this stuff, but I remember the two of us just were like, what is this thing? And he took it out, and I just remember being like, we had an Atari at home, so like video games themselves weren't like unfamiliar to me, but I can just remember like staring at that cartridge and just wondering, like, what is this thing? Like, what is this game? Like, we didn't even know what it was. You know, we're just looking at the screenshots on the back. So like, I just remember even him, we were just like, we got to play this thing somehow. And then, you know, we got our Nintendos not long afterward, but, yeah, lots of fun memories like that where you're just like, what is this thing?
The, you know, getting games to work and getting games to play, you know, blowing in the cartridges and everything that came from it. I remember we would have, I would, you know, swear there was a technique, you know, I'd put the cartridge in all the way, kind of lean it to the left a little bit, and then have just like a you know, an eighth of an inch of the plastic of the cartridge like hanging over where, you know, where it would like snap down into, and you just hear it kind of like slide off and like jam into the cart. Like, to me, like that forced forward like motion of me pressing it down and having it be like jammed forward like would guarantee it was going to like start up, you know, because you'd have sometimes where it'd just be flashing or whatever, and like everybody had a trick or a gimmick or a thing that they would do to get the games to play. Which I don't know is a reflection on poor hardware design or anything, or if it was just a nature of the technology or what, but yeah, everybody had like tricks like that, I feel.
Maybe a little of both. Yeah, I remember ours for our tray at one point, like when you would lower the cart, like it had to be at a certain spot. So like we would get like a little book and like slip it in there, and that would kind of just keep the cartridge right where it needed to be. Like, to your point, just like these ridiculous little tricks just to get it to go. Now I know how to maintain these things and I don't have to do that stuff anymore. But back then it felt like you kind of had to come up with your own, you know, this is what I do. Everybody had their own way.
Yeah. And then, you know, you're not actually supposed to blow into the cartridges, you know, like a moisture from your mouth and all that stuff could like get on the contacts and cause corrosion over time and everything. Like, you know, don't do that. But I mean, I remember my parents bought us accessories to like cartridge cleaning kits and, you know, like miscellaneous like junk like that. I mean, even having like the Game Genie and everything that like jammed on the end of the cartridge, then it went in and everything. And, yeah, there's a lot of cool things, you know, for the NES. So that's got, I got a lot of great memories for that too. Do you have a, you know, you don't have a forced ranked, you know, top 10 or anything, but, you know, what are some of your like most memorable, most iconic games that you still like think back on fondly?
Mario 3 was probably like the biggest game I ever got in my life. Seeing Super Mario Brothers, just the first, you know, when my brother brought home this Nintendo, just seeing it running was just, it kind of blew my mind. You know, I didn't really get to like arcades much, so like there wasn't real, other than like Atari and Coleco, I didn't really have too much to go off of, and that was just incredible, and I still love that game. Oh my god. You know, I love all the Marios. So yeah, let's go all the Marios, a lot of the standard stuff, Contra, all the Castlevanias, the Mega Mans, they're all so good. I guess if we want to go like slightly deeper cut, like I'm looking, Guardian Legend, I guess it's not a deeper cut, I was gonna say like the Capcom, a couple of Capcom Disney games like DuckTales, Rescue Rangers, those are well-known ones. Monster in My Pocket from Konami is
loved Monster in My Pocket. Yeah,
that's so good.
Yeah, it was so good.
What I'm trying to think of some ones that like, I'm sorry, I'm like turning my head.
No, that's okay. There's one that I actually thought about it because Brian Rixby again, he with his NES maps book, he has like, you know, he covers a bunch of games and all that stuff, but like it helped me remember and unlock a game that like I've forgotten the title of from like childhood. Like I remember we had this game, maybe it was just a rental, but like I can remember it was like, it was Metroid, like you can play stages and you'd leave them and exit them and then you could come back to them even. And there was like random like shops that you can find that you would be able to buy extra items that would, you know, help you along the way. But there was like a world map, and I remembered the shape of the world map and how it like it formed like a little crescent shape. And when you got up there, there was like a sub boss on the inset of this. Like I had all these memories, and like for my life, like I just thought, like, you know what, maybe I'm just fusing the memories of like a few different games, like, you know, because I never found it. I had tried to like, you know, download like every Nintendo game and like started them up even just to see if any of them flashed my memory and all that stuff, but like nothing ever happened. But flipping through that book, it was this game called Clash at Demon Head. It was this like really obscure game. You know, to me, it was obscure anyway, you know? And, I was like flipping through that his book. And like, that's what actually, like I saw it and I saw the map and like, it literally was like everything, like, you know, 30 years of memories of like, was this game actually a real game or was this some type of like dream I had and everything. And it confirmed that I wasn't crazy and that unimportant things like Clash at Demon Head's overworld map, like I can remember more so than, you know, other important things I should have remembered in my life.
I think about that a lot. I'm like, why do I remember this dumb video game detail and I can't remember like important dates or anything like that?
Yeah. I was at work the other day and I told somebody, like, yeah, you want to get to the cheat menu in Mortal Kombat on the Genesis? You know, it's down, up, left, A, right, down. You know, everyone remembers that. And they were like, why do you know that? And I was like, I don't know why I know that. I mean, I don't know my daughter's social security number, but I know the blood code, A, B, A, C, A, B, B. And I know the cheat menu code, but like, that's just, that's me adulting.
That's great.
Cool. Well, the NES special console. I mean, that's it. We did it. That's the show. And that's the thing. We answered the question and we had a good time, hopefully.
Yeah, for sure.
So thanks again, Philip, for joining. We'll definitely want to have you on future episodes for sure if you want to come back. I mean, spoiler alert, we're going to record one right after this that will be released, you know, a few weeks later. But like I said, I'll have the links to like your social media and stuff like that in the show notes below. But anything else you want to share or promote or say before we wrap up?
No, I guess if you want to check out the Mega Man book, you can just go to Kickstarter, type in hand-drawn game guides Mega Man, and even though the Kickstarter is over, we're still taking pre-orders and all that, and you can check it out.
Oh, but, cool. I forgot to ask that earlier, if you had like either like the late pledges or you had a system set up for that, but that makes sense. Definitely do that. I'm a backer. I'm a supporter. It's gets my firm recommendation. I guarantee it's going to be amazing, and I haven't even seen it yet. So y'all should do that. Phil, thanks for joining. We will talk soon.
All right. Thank you. Yep.
Hello, we are Kirby Conversations, a podcast on Kirby, along with other adjacent subjects like Smash Brothers, HAL Laboratory, and other related Nintendo games.
In each episode, we take an in-depth, well-researched look at a Kirby topic, drawing on our decades of experience playing Kirby games, creating Kirby-related content, and working in and around the video game industry. I'm Sean Douglas. I'm a theater and video game journalist.
And my name's Bridget. I'm an online Kirby commentator and collector.
Our team also includes photographer and Nintendo ambassador Kai Captain Dangerous Parker and Gigi, the editor-in-chief of Wick Kirby. Join us for deep dives into Kirby's history, interviews with industry professionals, and even inside looks at Nintendo, as together we explore all things Kirby and HAL Laboratory. You can find Kirby Conversations on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.